Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. These are a series of podcasts of Sunday homilies, reflections, and occasional talks given by the staff of the Catholic Community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, Director Pastor of the Catholic Community. It is the 26th Sunday of Ordinary Time. The readings are from Cycle A.
Whether you're here to Stanford or not, if you've been part of worship in the Catholic Church anywhere around the world, this whole last year we've been in the Gospel of Matthew. And because that started all the way back in last December, and now it's turning from summer to fall, we're beginning to tilt toward the kind of climax of Matthew's Gospel. So I think it's important to remember where we are in it anyway. We might be starting a brand new school year, but we're already absorbed in a narrative that's been going on that we've been recounting together for months. It's Matthew. And Matthew does this thing that none of the others do. He uses what some scripture scholars will call a sandwiching technique, or bookending, it's sometimes called. In the very beginning of this gospel, remember, he's the one that tells us about this baby that's going to be born, and the whole story is told through the perspective of this guy named Joseph. Joseph's already a name that's been taken earlier in the tradition. There's that Joseph, the coat of many colors guy, the favorite son back in the Old Testament. And Matthew describes Joseph in many ways that evoke that tradition. They're both dreamers. Remember, Joseph, the Old Testament guy, was in Egypt, and he was interpreting dreams. He was not really a native there. He had been betrayed by his own brothers, sold into slavery. There's all these resonances of this Old Testament Joseph and who this baby is going to be. Joseph figures in the middle. One of the things he's told is that this child is going to be born, his name is going to be Emmanuel. A name means God is with us. Right? You get all the way to the end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and you get the crucifixion and the resurrection stories, and Jesus begins to appear in different places. And in the very last scene, it says he's with his 11 disciples, and he brings them up on a mountain. And he says to them, full authority has been given to me, and now I'm giving it to you. Authority is the problem in the gospel today that we're challenging with authority. He's saying, full authority has been given to me, and I'm giving it to you. And he says, go now. They're mandate words, commissioning words. Go now. And make disciples of all the nations, that is, disciples of the student. Turn the whole universe into a classroom. Help everybody to have a questioning heart about who I am in the world. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Bring them in. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them all that I've commanded you. And then this past line. And know that I am with you. Always. Remember, I am. There was a time when people heard that name for the first time. Moses was, remember? Moses was in Egypt too. He was a slave. They nearly killed him when he was tiny. His mom kind of saved the day by putting him in a basket and telling him down the river. Remember that story? He ends up out in the desert tending flocks. And it's there that God meets him in a burning bush and starts telling him what he wants him to do. He gives him orders. He commissions him. I want you to go back to Egypt, and I want you to tell Pharaoh to stop being so bad. I want you to go and tell Pharaoh, I hear the cries of the people that are much closer to me than I want him to let them go home. Well, Moses kind of gets the picture. can kind of imagine himself in Pharaoh's palace saying, "You've been very bad. I think you need to repent. You need to change your ways and let my people go." The very first thing that Pharaoh would say after he got over how audacious the request was would be, "Who do you think you are?" Moses knows that he's going to need to act on authority, and the first thing that he's going to be questioned is his authority, and so he says, "If you want me to do this, you're at least going to have to tell me your name. Who are you?" And God says, "Tell him, I am. Into the temple in chapter 21. Today, the reading just where we pick up, it says Jesus entered the temple. And it wasn't just any old day like you walked into a memorial church. You entered the room. The last time Jesus entered the temple, you know what he did? Bad things. He trashed it. He threw out the money changers and he told them that they were ruining the whole place. This was a house of prayer and they're trying to get into some mall. This is this commercial place where transact deals with God. He upsets the whole order. And then the next day it says he comes back into the temple and he meets the authorities, the ones who run them all. A little wonder they're angry at him. And he's curing people. The poor and the lame are coming to him. And he's healing them right there in the temple complex. They couldn't be angrier. They tell him, "Who do you think you are? On whose authority do you do this?" And so he tries to tell them a little bit about authority with the story. Well, there was this guy. And he had two sons. He heard all about it. And they begin to get the picture that this story isn't going well for him. It's not a matter of who got here first, who has the most regalia. Those letters after their name. In fact, it's the person in the story, it's the one who is good in speech and polite, but his father says, "I want you to go to the vineyard." "Yes, sir, I'm right on it. All over that." And then there's nothing. And then there's the audacious one the next time that just boldly, forcefully, rudely just says, "No, I am not." "I don't know what it was like in your household, but could you have gotten away with that with your dad or your mom? Not in the gospel household." "No, I am not." And then all it says is later, he changed his mind and went. And Jesus says, "Go explain to the father why." In the gospel, it says, earlier that when the children are hearing what Jesus has to say and they're seeing the lame healed, the children start shouting out, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna to the Son of David!" They're just little kids. Somebody taught them these lines, these holy words. "Hosanna to the Son of David." And the elders say, "Do you hear what they're saying?" "I do. I'm standing right here. I can hear what they're saying." Didn't you ever read this? And he quotes to them Psalm 8. "From the speech of infants and children, you have framed a hymn of praise many of you, it's all brand new. And you might be worshiping with us for the first time. It's so important to kind of take along with you and think about where you're headed and what you're doing. How you frame this year of the Stanford experience, and even if you're not brand new, one of the great things about being in an academic community is even if your whole life is changing the way it is for some people, you can go along for the ride. Why not just decide that tomorrow's the first day of the new quarter? Any change that I need to make, good luck doing. But in the way from tomorrow, start planning. How do you frame the whole thing? Well, one of the things we're inviting you to do is to consider stepping it up. Jesus said, I've got a job for you. You go. If you've heard of the story, he's got children that he wants to work for him. You go into my name. It might be that in your church practice up until now, it's been pretty much going to church and going home. And you might have heard, if you were in his church orientation this week, not to join things. Anybody get that message? Be careful not to overdo. Don't oversubscribe yourself. What I want to say to you is, we want you to sign up. And we've got these blazingly bright yellow things that are going to be in the end of the news for you to go through and register and tell us what you might be interested in doing. The fact that you put a check mark next to something doesn't mean you're signing your life away. But what it does mean is that we'll be in touch with you to talk about would you be willing to help with this or that. In the second reading today, St. Paul was talking about what the community owed him. He said, the comfort and consolation you owe me, he was writing from prison. Here's what you owe me. You owe me a life poured out in service, the way I poured my life out, and the way the Lord poured his life out for me. How do you do that? That's up to you. But we owe each other a life poured out in service. I want to challenge you, if you are a new Stanford, please don't think of your life in the Catholic community of Stanford as an extra curricular activity. And I need to guard my study time, and so I can't do anything in the Catholic community. I've got to study, because I'm going to study. Not get that. Not get it. We won't burden you down and pull you away from your day mission to be here. But I don't want you ever to think that Spirit of God in your life is beside the form or extra curricular. God loves you to death, and God is not extra curricular. Do not bless you making so. And even that God will never. God will be fighting another way back. So I want to be one more person this week for those of you that are new to Stanford, welcoming you here, and assuring you that the God that has known and loved you wherever in the world you came from is right here. I once had a student tell me, I asked her, so where is your home church? Don't tell me. Ohio. She said, no, it's California. And I got great news for you. God of California. Say, God is a God of Ohio. You got to make the shade. The God that you already know lives here. It's just a matter of the specific people that make up the body of Christ here aren't the ones that you do back in Ohio. But we'll try to make up the difference as fast as we can and get to know you and love you as much as you'll let us. So my prayer for you is that you'll step out of it and take the chance of engagement in the activities of the Catholic Community in Stanford, and where we can all then take up that great commission at the end of Matthew to go then and make disciples of everyone. Most of all, know that I am with you, all of us here.
This edition of Catholic Cardinal Reflections has been sponsored by AnToto 2, The Wizard of Oz as a Spiritual Venture by our Pastor Director, Father Nathan Castle, OP. Thank you for listening to the Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu. This is Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP, the Associate Director, Parochial Vicar for the Catholic Community at Stanford, and the voice of Catholic Cardinal Reflections. Until next time, God bless you.